This is a talk from BeThinking.org, which is UCCF's apologetic website. Apologetics is basically two things. It's the communication and the defence of the Christian gospel. So visit BeThinking.org soon, and make sure you sign up as a BeThinker to hear all about BeThinking.org's latest releases. I feel
Is the fact that Jesus didn't have a father, does that make him divine? Technically, no. That on its own, by itself, would not necessarily make him divine, because Adam was that way. But when you take it as, the Bible presents that as a fulfillment of prophecy, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And when you unpack the meaning of Messiah from the Bible, you find out it's a divine person on earth who is the ultimate king, the ultimate prophet, and the ultimate priest, in that he actually represents all of mankind before God as an offering, as a sacrifice.
Before
God the Father. Yeah. This is part of yes, I'm drawing. I'll say it that way. This is one of those places where language fails us. The way the Bible presents God, this is both the Jewish scriptures and the Christian scriptures together in the Bible. There is one God, in essence, and three persons, three personalities, not bodies, not physical things, as we tend to think. But three spiritual persons share that same essence in complete harmony and unity. Now, the Christian name for it is Trinity. But the Bible testifies that this is how God has revealed He exists. And it's a different idea from the Greek idea, which I mentioned at the beginning. It's a different idea than what you find in the Quran or what you find in the Hindu scriptures. It's an idea unique to the Christian and Jewish scriptures. Yeah. That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to clarify something, because Jesus wanted to explicitly say, I'm God. When he might have said it in the Bible, I am God, also saying, I am.
Yeah.
Would he not have just said it straight up, I'm God?
Would Jesus, shouldn't he have said, I am God, if he wanted to make it clear?
Yeah.
Well, I think if Jesus came today, he would say it that way. God is the English word we use generically for the Supreme Being. And Christians use that word specifically for the God of the Bible. Muslims use that word in English, not in Arabic, not when they say their prayers, but they'll often use it generically for the God of the Quran. Even though the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran, though they have many similarities, there are also differences of character and attribute. I think if Jesus came today and was speaking to an English audience, he would say it, I am God. To the Jewish audience he had right in front of him that I've just gone to, he could not have said it in a more unambiguous way. He said, I am the God you worship, by just saying, I am. He said, I am the God that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. I am your God. Just by saying that, I am. He could not have said it in a more powerful or explicit way to his audience there. And so this is one of those things where, you know, when any of us go to a holy book, we have to go back and look at its context, especially if it's an old book, and see what things meant at that time. I know Islamic scholars have to do this with the Quran. Hindu scholars have to do it with their books. Christians have to do it with the Bible. And there is a temptation, there's always a temptation for us to take our mindset and try and force it on a holy book and say, it's got to say things the way I want it to say them. And I find this, I've heard this comment many times. Why didn't Jesus say, I am God? Or why didn't he say it this way? I am God, worship me. In those five words. Well, it wasn't appropriate, evidently. He did receive worship from people on numerous occasions recorded in the Gospels. He did say explicitly right here in John 8:58, I am the God you worship. He said in other places that the Jews took just as explicit. Many of the times when he used the phrase Son of God, they took it as an explicit reference to deity. In fact, his trial before the Jews, which is in Luke chapter 22, his claim to be Son of God in that particular context, they took as blasphemy. They took as him equating himself with God. And they didn't believe. And that was the main reason why they wanted to see him crucified. Sure. Crucifixion. Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
I wouldn't say it. Technically, that's an incomplete statement. The God-man, the unique God-man, died at the cross. Okay. The one person who is fully God and fully human in all of human history, no one else has been like Jesus. He died on the cross. But when he died, the physical body died, not the spirit and not the spiritual part of him. It's the same with us. When we die, our physical bodies die, but our spiritual, immaterial parts live on and get reunited with our physical bodies, according to the Bible, to a renewed physical body. So just saying God died on the cross, you will hear Christians say that, and if you want it, in order to be precise and very, very technical and picky, it's more correct to say the unique God-man died on the cross. God himself did not cease to exist. Christians have never said that, have never believed that. The scriptures have never taught that. If someone's walked away from Christians talking about the cross, that's a misunderstanding. And even just on the simple part that even with death, the biblical view of death, the person doesn't cease to exist. So God took on a human body, according to the Bible. And that human body is what died on the cross. Yes. Yes. And the immaterial human part. Okay. There's not the way the Bible talks about this union of human and divine in Jesus. They're never separated again. That Jesus right now in heaven has a glorified human body and has chosen to take that on for all eternity from now on, from his birth on. That's what the Bible teaches. Yeah. Good question. Very good question. A lot of Christians get confused on that. So, yeah. Any others? Well, let me mention just one more thing. I brought one more thing. I ran out of room on the table. But I found in one book a really helpful outline, just if you're interested, of how in the New Testament of the Bible, how the deity of Christ comes out. Okay, and this is an outline of the New Testament testimony to the deity of Christ, and you're welcome to take one. I brought a number of copies. Feel free to take one and look them up yourself. So, there's that as well. Thank you.